Hey guys, how are you? I'm Truefall. Welcome to Extraordinary Soldiers, the series that more and more people are liking, and I love it. It's making me happier than Pissio. Today's protagonist is a heavyweight, a man named a soldier, in this case Michael Wittmann, commander of a German Tiger tank, hero of Biller's Bokash, and today in this first part I'm going to tell you about his time in the Russian wars. Welcome to Extraordinary Soldiers. Well, guys, this is going to be the bomb. I recorded the entire clip. I didn't like it at all, and what I'm going to do is completely ignore a couple of days of gathering information about the guy, writing it down, rewriting it. I didn't like it. I'll go back and get straight to the action because this man, Michael Wittmann, is pure action, improvisation, talent, courage, honor, everything. A heroic ending that would make him absolutely immortal forever and ever. Until proven otherwise, it will continue to be the number 3 tank destroyer in World War II, Tiger Commander. And I'm going to quickly explain in 10 seconds that it started out with the SSVT, which would later become or be called the Buffen SS. It started out with the BL standard Solf Hiller, which are the letters LSS that you've probably seen more than once. And I want to skip over everything. Look, I'm doing it. I'm downloading all the text here, all the crap that I had written. Holy crap, so much work for nothing. But honestly, I've heard it twice, and it sounded good. It didn't sound bad. But, of course, it's not that there's any fluff. It's just that I needed action, and I thought, man. If it doesn't convince me, I'm going to skip these first 8 minutes. 8 minutes, don't miss it. Damn, I've already done 3, huh? Let me get started. 1, 2, 3. At the outbreak of hostilities in September 1939, Wittmann, age 25, was serving in the Spanger Paduk platoon within South Dakota 22, Spanger, first as a driver and then as a commander. His service was short-lived, as upon his return to Poland he was assigned to NCO training with the 5th Company of the Live Standarte Replacement Battalion, as his superiors had seen in him an innate and emerging talent, and Wittmann would see to it that he did not disappoint them. The division received 6 of the new Stumel Club 3 Osva A assault guns, self-propelled guns armed with a 75mm cannon mounted on a Painter 3 chassis. While in Metz, the French campaign, Unterscharfer Bittmann was offered the opportunity to train with this new type of vehicle, and after testing it thoroughly and was chosen as the commander of one of them. Wittmann immediately accepted the position and began the process of selecting a crew, which would not be easy, since there was no experience in this class of vehicle, so he had to choose people he could trust completely. And in the end he chose Rottenfeeder Klink as gunner, an expert in the use of Panzer 1 and 3, who had nothing to do with this one. Rottenfeeder Kallenhorf is driver and Rottenfeeder Peterson is loader. Training with the STC-3 was very intense and highly realistic in every aspect, including careful training in field maintenance as well as tactical training. Widman and his team had to familiarize themselves very quickly with every inch of their vehicle, since their lives depended on it. This training was absolutely essential, as it would often be necessary to carry out such procedures in the midst of enemy fire and very quickly and safely. Tactical training was essential for perfect coordination between the vehicles and the infantry they were to support, and the realism of these training exercises had to be aimed at avoiding the possibility of infantrymen being accidentally wounded or killed in the immediate vicinity of the vehicle. After training with the STU-3s ended in April 1941, Operation Merida took place in the Balkans, where the Landstandarte Adolf Hitler provided support to the 9th Panzer Division for the assault on the city of Skopje in Yugoslavia. The Yugoslav campaign for the Landstandarte ended in a week and the entire division was sent to Greece, where it became a genuine combat unit and included officers of the stature of Karanger Mayer, who would become famous for the assault on the Klisura Pass. Michael and his STU-3 team also played their part in this assault and subsequent push towards Lake Kassoria, assisting in the capture of no less than 12,000 men from the 13th Greek Division. Athens was finally taken in late April, although the real game, if you can call it a game in an absolutely absurd way, Operation Redbeard, Barbarous, as it is also called, which is nothing more and nothing less than the German invasion of Russia, began on June 22, 1941, and it would not be long before Widman was in action. On July 12, Widman's ST-3 was requested to move to an advantageous position on a hill marked on his map as Point 65.5. After reaching it, Rottenfuhrer Klink, Widman's gunner, spotted enemy tanks approaching rapidly. After searching for an advantageous position, a position that would give them a visual advantage, 18 T-34 tanks were spotted. Although they were soon divided into two groups, one of 12 and one of 6. Michael ordered his driver to drive the vehicle directly towards the group of 6, facing them, although he skirted them on the left side of the hill to get into a position of real advantage. They would be the first to fire. Juan saw the first tank and ordered his gunner to fire. The first enemy tank was hit squarely by a direct hit to the turret thanks to the power of the STU-C's 75mm gun. As you can see in the photographs I'm showing you, the Saint 3 has no turret, it's a vehicle that has to move its tracks in order to move the gun from right to left. It has very little movement on its own. For that reason, the responsibility of the driver in this class of armored vehicles, in this case the driver, Kohlendorf, is absolutely vital. Whitman's driver, shortly after destroying the first one, was skilled enough to quickly get back into an advantageous position so that he could open fire again. That allowed Gunner Click to get another direct hit on AT-3476 that was bursting into flames and burning with its crew inside. A few seconds later, another quick move by our driver and our loader Peterson fed another shell into the barrel and hit AT-3434. A short time later, Whitman's vehicle was shaken by a near direct hit from another tank that they hadn't seen and that was coming at them from the side, which forced the driver and the entire crew of the tank to take to their heels and start running. In this case, to move towards a forest and calmly plan their next move. Whitman got out of the vehicle and made a quick move, a quick reconnaissance on foot of the sector. Suddenly, emerging from behind some bushes, a new Russian tank appeared. Whitman was completely paralyzed when suddenly the T-34 flew into the air, after the dust left by the explosion of the tank, as its internal ammunition exploded. He realized, looking back, that Kleils, as artillery spotter, had been instrumental in anticipating the arrival of the Russian tank. While both vehicles had met simultaneously, Whitman's gunner had been much quicker to locate, sight and hit the target first. Returning to his cupola, Juan was the first to congratulate his expert gunner profusely. Whitman and his crew would destroy 6 T-34s that day and would also demonstrate his character and determination by saving 3 of the crew of the last destroyed Soviet tank from the flames, earning him the Iron Cross, second class. When Set Dietrich asked him if he had any special requests, he told him to please give medical assistance to the 3 Soviet soldiers in the tank he had saved. Whitman continued his successful campaign under Hitler's banner until the fall of Rostov on November 20, 1941. The following day, he received his medal, decoration, and the Panzerkampf Beach Assault Badge in silver for having participated in 25 engagements against enemy tanks. After a year in Russia, he returned to Bavaria to the Junkschule, the SS military academy in Bad Tölz. Like many other cadets, Whitman found the training to be very tough, training he had never had before, although it would prepare him for what he had to endure. All areas were covered, the mental and physical exercises were very severe, designed to push each cadet to the absolute limit of his capabilities, since in combat fatigue and being able to overcome these limitations were essential, especially in Russia. Great emphasis was also placed on camaraderie and cooperation, and officers were instilled with the idea that although they were always ultimately responsible for the actions of their team, they should always see themselves as members of that same team. Training concluded on the 5th of September and Wim was posted to the SS Panzer Replacement Battalion at Weimar in Paderborn as a platoon commander. On the 21st of December 1942, as was the case with the SS Panzer Tiger, he was sent to France to train with the new Panzer Tiger tank, armed with the 88mm gun. As had happened with the ST-3 before, he had to choose his own crew, which ended up being Rottenfeder Balthasar Bobby Ball as gunner, Rotenfer Karl Verges as loader, Rotenfel Karl Gustav Kitzmer as driver and Rotenfer Helbel Pullman as radio and MG-34 operator. Tiger crews could change over time, but Wim always wanted Bobby Ball to be his gunner. The BL Standard returned to the Russian front in January 1943 with the newly formed 1st SS Panzer Corps, which also included the 2nd Panzer Division Reiss Rich and the 3rd Panzer Division Todenkov. Hetman would begin the campaign as commander of a light platoon formed by Painter 3A UJ. It would not be until early April that he would receive the new Painter Tiger and the company would be renamed the 13th Company. The Tiger that Hetman commanded in the Battle of Kursk was number 1331, and the 13th for the company, the 3rd for the platoon and the 1st as platoon commander. On the first day of the Battle of Kursk, Operation Citadel, on July 5, 1943, the company commanded by Achestin Fuder Kling headed north from its starting point near the town of Vykovka, with instructions to break through the Soviet defenses at all costs, positions located south and southeast of the city. This was a bad day for Whitman, as although they managed to destroy 8 TS-34s and 7 anti-tank guns, on one of their many sorties that day, their tank hit a mine which damaged the tracks and seriously injured their loader Walter Korch. The crew consisted of Bobby Ball, gunner, Siegfried Fuss, driver, Max Gauba, substitute coach and loader, and Karl Lieber, radio man. By the 14th of July, the company had only 5 Tigers operational, a number that quickly rose to 9 by the 17th of July and had to withdraw to a position west of the town of Bielograd. They had lost many men, and despite the successes of Tiger Company, Kursk was still in Soviet hands and the German troops had simply been completely overwhelmed by the sheer numbers of their opponents. The plan to close the Kursk salient had failed. After a period of rest in Italy following the defeat at Kursk, Whitman returned to Russia for the third time, where the situation had gone from bad to worse and the Soviet army was now advancing relentlessly. Whitman's company was assigned to capture the town of Brusilov west of Kyiv in Ukraine. On November 13, 1943, he and his team managed to destroy more than 24 vehicles, including tanks and anti-tank guns. Despite or in spite of Whitman's individual actions, it was clear that such overwhelming superiority could not be resisted for long. November 21 was an intense day for Whitman and his crew, with their Tiger experiencing problems due to engine overheating due to a breakdown. Despite everything, that day they destroyed 1,334 and 7 anti-tank guns with Sturman Bobby Warburn as gunner. Reports include an MP-40 machine gun encounter with 3 crewmen of one of the destroyed T-34s, where Whitman received a non-life-threatening chin wound. In mid-December, accompanying other Panther Tigers, they were surprised by about 20 T-74s around the town of Messi's Kashka. Although he managed to destroy six of them, with Bobby Wall again manning the powerful 88mm gun during the battles around Berechevsky. By the end of December, Whitman was appointed company commander, and by the 2nd of January 1944 he had 12 Tigers under his command, and the new year also brought the appearance of the new and fearsome T-3485, armed with a better designed gun and turret and a much more powerful gun. The first days of January were fruitful for Whitman. He had accumulated 56 victories in the period from July 1943 to January 7, 1944, and another 10 victories on the 8th and 9th. On January 10, he was proposed for the Knight's Cross by SS Divisional Commander Overfor Theater, Teddy, Wish, which he would receive 4 days later during that brief period. Whitman eliminated another 22 enemy tanks, bringing his personal tally of victories to 88, 80 of which were with Bobby Ball as gunner. On the 12th and 13th alone, they knocked out 16 Soviet tanks and 3 anti-tank guns. Before the end of the month, he had already achieved his 100th victory, and on January 30th, he was notified that he had been awarded the oak leaves to the Knight's Cross that he already held, in addition to being promoted to the rank of Obersturmführer. On February 15, 1944, he replaced Heinz Klein as commander of the 2nd Company of the SS Panzer Abteilung 101. His last action on the Russian front would be carried out with the intervention of Das RGHT and Leftstandarte Adolf Hitler to free the 35,000 German soldiers trapped in the Cherkasy pocket, obtaining 9 more victories in this battle. And well, handsome guys, we have finished the first part, and we will see you in the second here at Extraordinary Soldiers. See you later. Bye.